And we're back, just like we promised. It's a Taylor Report. And we're going to be speaking to Imam Mughara. And are you there, Imam?
Hi, Phil. Yes, I am.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us. It was a quick call, and we may have caught you by surprise, but you've written about this trial in Boston of a young Rwandan man with a young family who at one time was in Canada. He was not accepted for status here, and he went to the United States, and he was denied status and they put him on trial for crimes in Rwanda in 1994 when he would have been a medical student. You are, of course, Rwandan yourself in ancestry and background. So you follow this very closely. What is it about these cases? Do you think he got a proper trial? What is your take on it?
So basically, in front of the jury in question, he was accused of having lied to American immigration authorities when he was applying for asylum status there. Mm-hmm. And the lies they were talking about, they were accusing him that two things, that he would have been a member of the Interahamwe political party. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that they were accusing him of having participated in the genocide in 1994, in the killing, the killings in 1994. Uh-huh. And this was definitely wrong because when he came to Canada in 2000, at that time, this would have been more than 6 years after the Rwandan genocide. Mm-hmm. And during those 6 years, nobody of Rwandan origin, whether in Rwanda or outside Rwanda, had ever accused him of anything.
Anything at all?
Nothing at all. And in fact, even in Rwanda itself, so the accusation first started with a Canadian immigration staff member. So the Canadian immigration staff member, she was in charge of his asylum status. She's the one who looked at the case and said, "Hey, so you were a medical student at this Butare hospital around the time of the genocide, and we have information that some people were killed at that hospital, and therefore, how did you survive? The only way you could have survived is if you participated in the killing of these people, if you were complicit in the killings in a way, or some way, or shape, or form." She did not provide any evidence. She just threw out this accusation and then declined status for him. And since then, all the different government agencies just went along with that, but the first Canadian federal judge who saw that reasoning, he was like, "This does not make sense." He sent it back to Immigration Canada to say, "You need to review this case. It doesn't make sense why you would refuse somebody without any evidence, by just these innuendos that you were in a certain place at a certain time, and you're talking about a 3 month period, and therefore." And in those 3 months, the killings would have happened only for a couple of weeks. Uh-huh. And so since you were in that place in those couple of weeks in a big city, therefore you must be a criminal. Yeah. And so from then on, even after that, Rwanda did not initiate any proceedings against him. It was only when this team of prosecutors in the U.S., once he went to the U.S., a few years ago, after Canada had refused to provide him proper justice, then in the U.S. they have a team that they are in charge of supposedly human rights and war crimes. Mm-hmm. And so these people, they get paid to look for human rights and war crimes, and they find Rwandan citizens on the U.S. territory to be easy targets because they know these people have no money to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. This Leonard Teganya, he was using public defenders against all the mighty resources of this the prosecutorial office. It's a completely unfair situation because then they were able to go to Rwanda and find these professional witnesses that have testified in other trials but never, ever mentioned this guy before.
Yeah, by the way, just on that point, if I could...
That is correct.
It's stunning. I mean, I understand that such things can happen, but, you know, it should be... The court, you would assume, would put a high degree of skepticism on that, since she had already come forward and made specific accusations, never having mentioned him.
You're absolutely right. And if I remember correctly, that would also be the same witness that when she was first interviewed by these American investigating authorities in 2016, at that time she did not mention this either. It took her 2 years in 2018 before she changed her story and added this in. And so his defense team was telling the judge that how can we allow this witness to go on the stand and sully our client's name? But mm-hmm. for some reason, the judge allowed her to say her stuff. And based on the what the jury did, apparently they believed her. But it's completely unfair, like the way these accusations originated, the way they obtained these professional witnesses who they go from trial to trial accusing whoever name you give them and whatever story you give them, they just go along. And it's a very sad situation.
Yeah, it is. There's so many issues here. The one we're speaking to, I guess, is collective guilt. The idea that if you, as you pointed out at the top, okay, you were in the hospital, bad things happened there. You must, and therefore, you must have been one of them. I mean, the strangest reasoning. I mean, it really only works as collective punishment.
You're absolutely right, because even if you look at the scheduling of the trial itself, like the genocide happened on April 6, 1994, and this trial it ended, like the verdict came out on April 5th, 2019,
yes.
just 1 day shy of the 25th year anniversary.
In a country that is the strongest supporter of the president, Paul Kagame, of all the Western powers.
Exactly. So you can see there's all these links with the political situation where they're basically saying, oh, it's the anniversary. We're going to give you one more sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly.
For the anniversary.
I have to say that's my impression. And they're following that with they're going to sentence him on July, so all the Western countries, when a Rwandan, particularly someone who is of the Hutu ethnic group, they are fighting against a terrible tide of prejudice.
Absolutely, because either people have never heard of Rwanda, they have no idea, or they know Rwanda through a lot of biased reporting or Hollywood movies like Hotel Rwanda that simplify things and completely provide a very simple, one-sided narrative that does not reflect the reality of what happened, mm-hmm. that does not reflect the fact that the Kagame's army, they actually started the entire war in 1990. It was a war for power. During that war for power, they killed President Habyarimana, who was actually working hard to negotiate with them and find peace. But they got rid of him just so they can achieve final victory.
Yeah.
But none of those Western movies about Rwanda or any of the mainstream reporting touches on that. They just present, hey, here's one side, they are angels. Here's another side, they are evil. And therefore, whenever we bring an evil person to you, you need to convict them.
Yes, they've turned it into a ritual, unfortunately. I like your point. You had an Arusha peace agreement. It was supposed to provide a multi-party democracy. There was not a war going on. It had stopped. Mm-hmm. And somebody murdered the peace, and they murdered the Arusha agreement in one blow on April the 6th.
Exactly. And then any of the United Nations investigators who tried to look into this, they all found everything was pointing to Kagame. There was one, the Garsoni report that was talking about this crime as well as any other crimes that Kagame's rebel forces were committing at that time. And that report was shelved, never to be spoken of again. And basically, in this one killing that started the whole thing, so this not only did this start the Rwandan genocide, but it also two presidents were killed in the same plane, the president of Rwanda and the president of Burundi. And you'll see this would be the kind of situation where the United Nations would want to investigate and find, and then they say, we don't want to know, so we're not investigating. We're just going to let the Kagame government investigate itself.
Yes. Yes, they'll send us a report if they think it's important. Imab, could you remind us the name of this individual?
His name is Jean Leonard Tegania.
Tegania.
Yes.
Jean Leonard.
T-E-G-A-N-Y-A.
I think we should all follow him and see what we can do. I hope he gets an appeal. And your article was very, very, very helpful. By the way, that can be found as SF Bayview, right?
Yes, that article could be found at sfbayview.com, and it can also be found at globalresearch.ca.
Oh, great. Imab, we really appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you closer to again when this judgment is due. I shouldn't say judgment, the sentencing. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Thank you for your time today.
Okay, bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT. I think we'll listen to some more Pete Seeger, and we will come back with Sid Ryan.